You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
You're listening to MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the Michigan State University Alumni Association. When we talk about athletic legends at MSU, names like Duffy Doherty, Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio, Bubba Smith, and Kirk Cousins may be among the names that first come to mind. But behind every great program stand those rare individuals who provide continuity. These are the people behind the scenes who inspire both student athletes and the coaches who mentor them across an entire generation. Our guest today is one of those living legends, an entrepreneur and business executive who has been at the forefront of the MSU athletic support infrastructure for more than five decades. In addition to earning accolades from the Lansing Regional Chamber of Commerce, Sparrow Hospital, and the MSU Alumni Association, he holds the singular distinction of being named to the Sports Illustrated Sports Fans Hall of Fame. He's also a familiar voice for radio listeners as one of the hosts of a popular game day broadcast ahead of all MSU football and MSU basketball games. It's an honor to welcome Dwayne Vernon to MSU Today. Dwayne?
Well, thank you, Scott, and it's an honor to be here, and I just think this is really exciting.
How did your relationship with MSU begin?
Well, it goes all the way back to when I was in Ithaca High School, and I happened to come down here for a thing called Boy State. I was selected to come down in between my junior and senior years to come to that outing, and it was really very, very nice and exciting. But the thing of it was we stayed at Michigan State, and we stayed in the military village, which was on South Campus. They had a different name for it.
The Quonset Huts.
The Quonset Huts. The Quonset Huts. And we stayed in there. And met a lot of great people. But more than that, I was just became impressed with the campus. It was just a beautiful campus. And I'm not just talking about the Quonset Huts area, because they were a necessity at that time. And so I went back home after that, and I started to talk about Michigan State and to my mom and dad. Alma College is just 8 miles away. And they thought if I went there, he could stay at home and, you know, not have to pay room and board and all those things. But I told him how great it was down here, and so we came down here a couple other times, and I just became impressed with the campus. And when I'd come on the campus for some event, it was just the way the people acted, and there's just the aura of the campus and the people just made an impression on you in a hurry. And so I told Mom and Dad that I said, "Yeah, really, I'd like to go to Michigan State." And so from there, we worked on me coming here and starting in the fall of 1949. So, and I graduated in that spring and then started here in school that fall.
So you're class of 1953?
Class of 53, yeah.
What was commencement like back then?
Well, it was wonderful. You know, it was impressive. It wasn't the big crowds that they have now. But it was commencement. The bottom line is it doesn't matter how many people or how big it is or how small, it's commencement, and that's a big part of your life. And from commencement, your life starts all over again. And one of the things I wanted to do, Scott, was I was an ROTC grad, and I spent 2 years down at Fort Lee, Virginia. And I came back, and I had married a Lansing girl by the name of Virginia Graff, and she was at the— when we first came to Michigan State, we went to a freshman orientation, and I met her there, and one thing led to another. We dated all through college, and then we got married in 1954. And so then I went in the Army for 2 years. I was at Fort Lee, Virginia, and everybody down there, I don't know how, but a lot of people knew I was from Michigan State. So anyway, I stayed there instead of being shipped overseas, and I helped run the athletic program there, and I played on the tennis team and coached the tennis team. So I made it happen that Michigan State's baseball team and tennis team came down and played then. That's when the services played colleges and different all kinds of sports. And so they came down and played us. Well, then after I left the Army, I went back to Lansing, and Virginia and I decided what we were going to do, and we kind of laid some rules. We wanted to be, number one, close to our families, and her family lived in Lansing and mine lived in Ithaca. And the other thing was we wanted to be close to this great university. So I went to Chicago, took a train there, and I interviewed for a big insurance company there who offered me a nice job, but I came back and talked to Virginia again and finally decided that, hey, we're going to stay here. So then I went to work for Michigan Retailers Association for 4 years. And then I got involved in the credit bureau business through her dad, who was general manager of the credit bureau of Greater Lansing. And so, but that's how that happened. But we made that decision. We wanted to be close to this great school.
You've been associated with every area of business, from sales and service to executive management and even ownership. What's the most challenging job you've ever had?
Well, I think in our business, the credit reporting and collection business with the credit bureau, it's challenging because we eventually had to close. Our office was down at 520 South Washington. It was the credit bureau of Greater Lansing, and we built the building there. And when it was under jurisdiction of my father-in-law. But we had to start to close the doors because we had to call LPD at least once a week, meaning Lansing Police Department, because people were so mad because they thought we established their credit ratings. We just kept the records from all the people who reported their activities. It was just sad because we just couldn't talk to people about their credit reports anymore or take collections for money there with people paying their bills. That's what our collection department does. We're very active in that today. And our parent company, CBC Companies, is very active in credit reporting and collections. But I market in public relations in the collection business, CBCS, Credit Bureau Collection Services. But it was just a shame because people would just blame us for everything. We got a bomb in the mail once. And it was the only reason we suspected something. It was a little square package and it had a ribbon. Like women put in their hair, wrapped in that, so we took it to the federal building, the post office, and they opened up, and there was a bomb in there. It was a shotgun shell with a trigger on it. If you opened it, it would have gone off. But there was just all kinds of things like that. And in fact, the credit bureau manager in Charlotte was murdered, because if somebody didn't like their credit report. It's a challenging business, but you always want, when you're dealing with people and credit reports, gentlemen, you always want to be right, make sure that it's all right, and that's a very, very detailed business. Of course, I like details anyway, but it was a very, very detailed business, and it was very challenging to make sure that we always had the right things there for our customers. And today, that's one of the things we pride ourselves on in the credit collection business, is doing the right thing for our customers. It's a long answer, but it's challenging.
Well, what a career. Yeah, what a fantastic career. So you've been in that business for
a little over 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still working.
What's a typical day like for you these days?
Well, it's, you go into work, and the company's been very nice now, and I work normally, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, unless there's something special that I need to do in marketing, make a trip someplace or something, and to a potential customer or to see a customer that's a very good customer. We need to say hello to them and thank them, and we do that a lot. But a typical day is go in and call on customers all day long for 3 days. The company's been, like I said, CBC Companies has been wonderful to me, and I have great bosses who give me extra time off. By having the Monday and the Friday off. But I love it. I love the job, and I couldn't be happier. And calling on customers and making those customers happy is what's so important to me.
You've held many leadership roles associated with Michigan State University over the years. One of them was as the president of the Mid-Michigan Alumni Club.
That's right.
What does it take to run an alumni club?
People. You have to have a team, Scott. And that's what everything is successful. I learned a long time ago that there's nothing, from the moment of conception, there's nothing we get in this life without help from other people. And that help from other people comes in a team. And just like the Alumni Association, your staff, there are great people there. You have a great team. It's not just you, and it's just not everybody else there. It's a team that makes those things happen. And I learned that a long time ago, and I tell you, it's the bottom line. People make the difference, and getting the right people in the positions in your team means everything. It's like Coach D'Antonio or Coach Izzo. They've got to have the right team to help them. And I don't mean the players. I mean the coaches and all the people that do all the things that help run the program.
And your gang was all volunteers. How did you recruit good people to come?
You found out how interested people are, and you get to know over the years, Scott, you get to know good people. And you ask them and tell them if you'd like to do serve in this board or serve in this committee. And the same with the Michigan parades, you know, all the parades we ran. And we had, I'd say, the greatest parade committee in the world. And because these people volunteered and they put their heart in it. You didn't want to get somebody if they didn't really want to do it or for reasons they wanted to help out for some selfish reasons or some other reason. You want it because they want to do it. They want to succeed. They want to be part of a winning team. They want to be part of an alumni association that just is great and does great things for the alumni club and for all the people who join the club.
How did you become a broadcaster?
Well, I got very lucky there, Scott. I just never thought I would be in my life. They had Dave Ackerley, you know who Dave is, a great community person and in the radio and television business. And they decided to run a basketball and a football show, a pregame show. And they said, well, they're going to audition for it. Well, Dave called me and said, Dwayne, I know you know a lot about Michigan State. Would you like to audition for this show? And I said, well, sure. And I didn't get you. Well, I was lucky. And I was one of two people selected. And so we started, and I joined the football program. And, of course, today we have George Perlis and Tim Stout and Mad Dog DeMarco and myself. And the men's basketball, Steve Peterson. I have been doing them. I think football, this is just about my 20th year in men's basketball, maybe my 21st or 22nd year. And I'm so honored, and I just love it. I just love it. And I want to make our sponsors happy. I want to make the university happy, primarily the university happy and all the fans, and make our sponsors happy. And so we do everything we can to bring on really a quality show.
It's a terrific program that you do every game day. And it's amazing to me the commitment that you have to make to be there for every single game.
Sometimes it's funny. Like we used to do some away football games. I would ride the tour buses that go down on games that Dean Trailways puts out, and I'd ride down there with them and do a radio show. We've done them on fire escapes in a hotel, and because you had to get the thing outside and everything, and we've done them on all kinds of places, under desks. It's been funny. We talked to people we used to have broadcast with us, and my gosh. But you wanted to make sure you got the show going. And that was the bottom line of our team. And again, there, Scott, it was a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5-person team. Again, that team word is TAM. It makes everything happen with good people.
Dwayne Vernon is our guest on MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association, and we'll continue the conversation in a moment.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
The University Research Corridor, empowering Michigan.
Well, the University Research Corridor is a collaboration among Michigan State University, University of Michigan, and Wayne State.
That's Michigan State University President Luana Simon.
People of Michigan have made an extraordinary investment in us, but no institution can do everything. And we need to use our visibility and our cachet to advance the state of Michigan and its people. And the URC is a vehicle to do that.
Visit us online at urcmich.org.
It's not that it's the only game in town, but it is a game in town that brings, we hope, a spotlight to Michigan and also tells the people of Michigan that we are committed to using the investment they've made in us to try to move the state forward.
Visit the University Research Corridor online at urcmich.org.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association, and our special guest today is Dwayne Vernon. Duffy Daugherty and Mark D'Antonio, you knew them both. What similarities did they share, and how are they different?
Well, that's a tough question, but I think I can answer it. I think the similarity with them is that they both want to win, and they don't want to win at all costs. They want to do it the right way. And I think that's so very, very important. They don't want to have people come back and say, well, you guys did this wrong, you guys did that wrong, you cheated here. They want to do it and do it right. They want to make the fans happy, but more than all, they want to make the players happy, because happy players are going to be better players, and that's what Duffy used to say. And I'm sure that Mark feels the same way. And they had so many things alike between those two that it's difficult to think of the differences. The bottom line, I think, is that Duffy went out maybe a lot more to speak to groups and things. Mark does quite a bit. It's hard. But I think that today there's even more pressure on the coaches to win than there was back then. And so the coaches have to spend a lot more time now taking care of their team and all the things that go along with it. And maybe that's the only difference I can think, mm-hmm. because they're both great people.
Sounds like you're describing the difference between Judd Heathcote and Tom Izzo.
And Izzo,
well.
Exactly the same. Yeah. It is that way. It was that way. And Judd was great. He came back here a month ago, and Tom had a party at his house after part of the basketball camp, the summer camp. And Judd came back, and he just loved it. And the coaches, some of his people he worked with in high school. I've been fortunate. I've been to 28 Final Fours, and most of them were with Judd and Tom and that group that used to go all the time when it was maybe a dozen or 15 people. But I learned an awful lot, Scott, by visiting those people and learning about what the things are that they did in life to make the rest of us happy with sports. And I'll tell you what, it's been a wonderful, wonderful life. And I things like that, just I look back on and my wife says sometimes, Judy says, well, Dwayne, do you have to go to all these games and all those things? I said, honey, I said, there's something that I just love about them. And I learn a lot. And that's one of the things you learn a lot. And like I said earlier, that you get help from other people and you learn some things there that help you in life.
So what was your most exciting MSU moment?
Well, one of them had to be in 1987 when we beat Indiana here and clinched the Rose Bowl. I'll never forget that. And my family went down the field and they got crushed. They just
that was the year played the same
we
team
played
at the
Southern
beginning.
Cal in the opening game, and Lee Greenwood saying, God bless the USA. And what a moment that was. First night game, I think, in our history. And then, to go and play them again in the Rose Bowl was really something. And so we went out there. But the game that we won there was just so significant in football. And that more maybe was one of the best games we ever won for a Rose Bowl. And I never forget that George Perlis said that their coach, the Indiana coach, came in the locker room and talked to our players afterwards and congratulated them, which a great thing that was. But that was a great moment. And in football and in basketball, it's hard to remember the game in Indianapolis where we our guard, I can't think of it, I'm losing his name now, Mateen Cleaves got hurt. And we were really worried that whether we were going to win the game or not, but we still did. That was very exciting.
When he walked back out of that locker room,
you knew
we were going to win.
You just felt like it. You just felt like it, and that we were going to win that game.
What are your first impressions of Magic Johnson?
Well, he was a local guy, of course, and my son played against him in high school. And my son played for Waverly, and he played against Magic in high school. And, of course, he wasn't Magic then. He was Irvin. And you know how he got his name through Fred Stabley Jr., and who gave him his name. But he always seemed to be a very nice kid. He wasn't he wasn't overblown with success, and Rick knew him too through camps and things. But he just was a good guy, and that's what I think Irvin's always been. He just came back to our Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame dinner, and I was emceeing that night with Bob Every, and. My gosh, after he got done, he said, just blew us away. He said, I'd like to contribute $20,000 a year to your program for the next 5 years, which meant a $100,000 contribution to the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. And again, there, again, as a person comes back to his hometown, and again, Scott, you go back to those things where you say you get help from other people, and there's a guy that's really helping his community. But he got a lot of help along the road, too. And he knows it.
So he's doing what Spartans do, paying it forward.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was, uh, he, he just maybe one of the greatest basketball players. He was the greatest one I think ever to come out of here. Maybe one of the best ever in the country. And he just is such a nice guy. And he brought success to his high school, Everett High School. He brought success to Michigan State, and then he got in the pros. But the big things were the high school and Michigan State.
Why is a strong athletic program good for an institution like MSU?
Well, I think, like a lot of things that are good for the institution, the Wharton Center and all the arts and all those things, Scott, but, you know, there's so many, many, many people that love athletics. And they love, a lot of them like high school athletics, and a lot of them like college athletes, and a lot of them like pros. But in college, it's different. And because there's some tough, stringent contingencies that you have to have a good college team. And I think some of them, and here again, we want to do the right things. And Luanna Simon is just so good at doing the right things. And she wants to win, but she wants to win right and with no kickbacks from anybody that said, you did this or you did that. She wants to do it and do it the right way. And Mark Hollis is the same way as the AD. We couldn't be more fortunate to have an athletic director like Mark Hollis and a president like Luanna Simon. But there's so much in colleges that people get so excited because it's a level they call enjoy. And a lot of them went to Michigan State. Some of the biggest fans I've ever seen from Michigan State never stepped foot on our campus except to watch games. But they're huge Michigan State fans. And they get excited over our program. And, Scott, one of the great things, we're a state school. We're not a private institution. We do things the right way under the proper leadership. And our coaches, Mark makes sure we hire a lot of great coaches. And I tell you, he's lining up. His teams now are getting a lot better in all phases of intercollegiate athletics. And I think that Mark just emulates what Luanna wants. And here's an example of Luanna getting excited about things. We have that weekly radio show. And George Perlis and Tim Stout and Dave DeMarco, myself, and just like last year, she comes every year. She comes on her cart, on a golf cart, comes over and gets on our program. Last year she was sick a weekend. She called us on the phone. I mean, she gets so excited about things, and she's just so involved. And I don't care if it's something of play at the Wharton Center or what it is. She gets involved for this university, and that's what makes her such a great president. And athletics is such a big part of it because athletics brings so many people. Is there another thing you can think of at the university that brings so many people to the campus that aren't students here or faculty, that brings so many here to watch an event? And it's athletics. And here you think we get 78,000 people, which is capacity at our football stadium, and it's filled almost all the time. And I'll tell you, she's so proud of that, but she wants everything done right. Scott, she doesn't want anybody to be able to say, well, you guys did this or you guys did that and it wasn't the right thing. She doesn't want that. She wants it to be done right. She'd rather do it right and not win than do it wrong and win. I mean, that's at the extreme, I know, but that's what I'm saying about her.
You have a unique perspective on student-athletes over the long term. What do you think are the secrets to success after an athletic career?
Well, if they're a rare pro athlete, that's a different table to cross. But for the normal athlete that goes to school and participates in college athletics, I think, to me, it's like a very, very in-loved course. You're taking a course where you participate in athletics, whatever it is, whatever the sport is, whether it's tennis or water polo or football or whatever. You're participating in something that you love, and you're doing it, and you're giving it all. But a lot of those kids, and I've known a lot of them over the years, they're just as excited about doing well in the classroom. They want to do well. And if you follow the careers of most of the athletes, the student athletes at Michigan State, most of them, and Scott, I know a lot of them, have been successful in their careers. And they didn't just think, well, I was an athlete at Michigan State, everybody's got to come to me and give me this and give me that. They have a different attitude. They want to go out and win in their jobs too. And that's what I would just love to see. The athletes that are here, when they go into whatever profession it is, whether it's running a garbage company or whether it's running a medical institution, they want to succeed. They want to do it right. And that's what I admire about college athletes.
You have an exquisite home in Pentwater that's adorned with a particularly Spartanesque structure halfway down the sand dune on the stairway to Lake Michigan. Describe it.
Well, when we got lucky, Scott. We went up there one day in 19. My wife Judy and I went up there one day. People wanted us to come to Charlevoix and Petoskey, great area. And well, we were looking around, and my cousin had a place near Whitehall, and so he said one day, "Why don't you come up here some Saturday, and I'll get a real estate agent, and he'll show you around." Well, that was 1988, and at that point, Lake Michigan was very, very high. And if you remember, cottages were falling in the lake, and nobody wanted the lake property. They were just, and we found some lots, and they were. The low price was ridiculous. And so Judy and I decided that day we bought five lots, four contiguous lots. And we went home and we said, what did we just do? Well, the bottom line was I wish we'd bought 10 of them. But because the lots, the water, like I said, it was discouraging people from being on the shores of the lake, of Lake Michigan. And so the guy that built our home in Lansing, also, we had him come up there and build our cottage there. Well, one of the things he did before he did anything else, he wanted to be able to get down to the lake, so he built a stairway down to the lake. Well, we didn't know it because we weren't there when he was building, of course, and we get up there once, and here was this big block S that he'd made as part of the stairway from the land up above to where the lake was. And we couldn't believe it, but he knew we were big Spartan fans. Darwin Parmalee was his name. He passed away, but that was his name, and he wanted to do that for us, and he built that big block S. And you know, we have a home here in Lansing, and we have a home there, but up there we Spartanized the place. We wanted to Spartanize the Pentwater area, but we wanted to enjoy it for ourselves. And that block S, just unbelievable. We never thought that having that would get the attention it gets, but people just can't wait to see it, and. But anyway, we did that, and then this last time when we had our road from the lake, from the highway, Ridge Road, built back to the lake, we made our driveway in the shape of a block S coming back, too. And we just try to Spartanize the place. It makes it so much fun, and people come there, and a lot of them are Spartans. They just get so excited, and it's fun.
Dwayne Vernon is our guest on MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association, and we'll continue the conversation in a moment. Our mission is to be your personal network for life.
Scott Westerman leads the Michigan State University Alumni Association.
Sing our love for alma mater.
So what that means is when you graduate from college, we'll help you find your first career. When you move to any city, anywhere, we'll help you connect and settle. If you're mid-career and want to reinvent yourself, we'll help you find a new passion. And if you need advice or a friend anywhere in the world, the MSU Alumni Association will connect you with the 500,000 Spartans out there that are always ready to take your call.
Join the Michigan State University Alumni Association online at alumni.msu.edu.
And thy praises
alumni.msu.edu.
MSU AgBio Research is changing the face of science.
People should know that AgBio Research is really the first front at MSU dealing with environmental issues and natural resources issues.
Dr. Steve Petke leads MSU AgBio Research. More than 300 scientists from six MSU colleges are leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
MSU AgBio Research really is changing the face of science. If we can do that right, we create economic opportunities here in Michigan and opportunities for our researchers to make some really interesting discoveries.
Our goal is to generate economic prosperity, sustain natural resources, and enhance the quality of life for all.
We're MSU AgBio Research.
Visit agbioresearch.msu.edu. MSU AgBio Research is changing the face of science.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. And our special guest today is Dwayne Vernon. Well, you're talking about Spartanizing things. 4 years ago, you got deeply involved in another little event in Pentwater that's become a really great pure Michigan tradition.
Well, Jeff Hodges, who owns and runs a village cafe and pub there, and Eric is a local attorney there, and these guys and a whole bunch of other people belong to the Oceana Mason Alumni Club, and most of the people are located in Ludington, but we decided we'd start doing something big, and so we decided to do this party there at the Village Cafe and Pub. And well, we thought, as long as people are coming up for that, why don't we have a party at our house? So Judy and I have a pregame party at our house, and they come there and start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then they usually leave there and go down to the Village Cafe, and there was a big tailgate there starting at 1 o'clock, and a guy named Jack Nelson, who was a member of the alumni band. Jack has just been wonderful, and he gets excited about these things, too. I mean, he gets into it big time. And he said, well, let's really get the band involved in some of this. And, of course, we had the alumni band. Well, now he's gotten the varsity band. And this year we had 30 alumni band members and I think 33 or 37 marching band members. And they just loved it. And John Madden said all his kids had a great time. We had two strollers, and they were just tremendous, too. But
the Clydesdales were there?
The Clydesdales weren't at our house, but they were in Pentwater. And Tom Izzo, Jeff Hodges knew the guy that runs the – his name is Buddy, incidentally, in Ludington. And he knew him, and so he started to work on getting Tom or his family to ride with the Clydesdales. Well, as we turned out, there was no room for his family. It was the two professional drivers, and then they put Tom up there with them. And Tom wrote, he said, I've never done anything like this in my life. Tom was so loose up there. But we had six head coaches up there this year. And if I could remember them all, Casey Lubon, the golf coach, and Tom Anastas, and of course Tom Izzo, and Kathy Klagas, the gymnastics coach, and Gene Orlando, the men's, 100 years of men's tennis at Michigan State. They celebrated that, and Jake Boss, the baseball coach. And they've all been there before, and they except Tom Anastas. But we've had over the four years now, we've had a lot of variety of the coaches come up, and we just love it because we like to showcase them, and we like to showcase their sports.
It's a community event, though. How do people that did not go to Michigan State feel about it?
Well, they get involved. I told you about that letter that the lady wrote to the
Michigan fans. She wasn't very happy about it.
No, she wasn't very happy. She said, I watched the homecoming parade this year. It was every place I went, I saw green and white. But anyway, some other people wrote back and got on her case. But
that's about green that comes out of the wallet. Yeah, yeah. Like that.
Well, whenever I tell my good Michigan friends, and I have a lot of them, I said, whenever you mix maize and blue, you know, wherever, however, whenever you mix it, it always comes out green. And but anyway, it's fun, and I love to have fun. And we have a lot of good Michigan fans. They're great people, great supporters, and they would support us too. And the big thing about that party in Pentwater is all the people, again, and I go back to starting to talk about a team. There's a whole bunch of people. Eric Fox is the attorney up there, and he just does a great job and did a great job this year again. So many people had to take to work on that thing to make it a success. I mean, Jeff estimated we had about 3,000 Spartan fans come through that tailgate. You were there. You saw how many people that were there. It was unbelievable. And some of them said later they couldn't even get in down there. It was so packed. And so what we did is we went to our house and started the party there, and then the band came there and made a performance, and they went by. And Dean Trailways bus. Kelly Dean and his staff provided the bus that brought them up here free and said, "Come, I want you all to go up there and have a good time." Kelly's been up there before, and he would have been there this year, but, you know, he had surgery. And so, but anyway, so they came there, and they partied there, and then they go into the Village Cafe, and Jack gets a big white tent, and then we have a big tailgate there. The band got there, and they started playing at 1:30, and they'd already played at our house. So then they played in the Pentwater Homecoming Parade at 4 o'clock, and then after that they came back and played again at tailgate about 6:30 or 7 o'clock. I mean, it was just it was a wonderful day for the Spartan land and
a
the Spartan
tradition.
World.
Fantastic.
And but again, Scott, you had so many great people that did things. Jamie Jensen helped make arrangements for all the cars that we had. I mean, you can't imagine all the cars that it takes and vehicles to put those coaches and everybody in there. And of course, we have other. We had Bob Hoffman from the Wharton Center and our director of admissions, Jim Cotter. They always come up, and it's just we try to accommodate all these people. And when I rode in the parade too, but I wasn't riding there to participate, and I wanted to make sure everything was going good. And so there was green and white everywhere, but people were having fun, and like you said earlier, they spent a lot of money in Pentwater. They ate there. A lot of them stayed overnight, stayed for the weekend. They bought things in stores, and it's just wonderful to see so much Michigan State stuff up in that part of the country. And the Oceana Mason Alumni Club and Ludington, the people that work with that, just did a super, super job.
In the course of your Spartan life, who's the most interesting person you ever met?
Oh, my gosh, Scott. How can I ever say the most interesting person? Jeez, I've met a lot of them.
Tell me about a couple.
Well, one of them, and because he was much older than I was, but when I was a student here, the president was John Hanna. And John Hanna was just, I mean, here I am from little Ithaca town, and we're having this thing where there's a lot of people there, and he happened to pick me and some other people out, but he happened to pick me out here and said, here's Duane Vernon from Ithaca. And I don't know how he got me or the other people, but he just happened to pick our names out of something. But the guy was a great president. He was a super president. And I just think that he certainly had to be one of them. But people that, and I, so many students, so many faculty, just so many different people. I can't even categorize all their endeavors at the university and the things they did, but there's so many great people that help you in different ways. And a lot of them became friends. And, you know, Scott, we talk in sports here and we talk about great coaches, but I was lucky. Walter Adams was one of my professors. And that was a tough, I didn't do awfully well, but I passed. But one time he was talking to us and he said, Duane, pay more attention to me, things like that. He would always make comments to students. And sometimes he thought maybe we weren't doing it. But Walter was a great, great professor, and he wanted to make sure that his students learned something. And he taught economics, he was a tough professor, but he learned. But there were a lot of people like that that were just...
Sounds like a common theme is that people at Michigan State made you feel like you were important.
They did. And that's, I come back again, Scott, to what I said earlier. People make the difference. Those people made a difference. And there's a lot of them just like that, not just at our university, but every place. And I come back to my theme of people make the difference, and they've got teams of people that help them. But there's so many people, Scott, it's impossible. I could make a list and write 100 names in a hurry.
Sounds like there's a book in there for you somewhere.
There's so many people that become lifelong friends that I met. I happened to be able to ask to join the Delta Tau Delta fraternity. And one time, Dee Means was our homecoming queen, and I found some connections, and I got Miss America to come and spend a weekend at our house. She's from a little town in Georgia. So she came up and spent time with Dee Means, our homecoming queen, and we had her at the Delta House. Well, then she got involved in some other things. But here we got Miss America to come here. And, but again, it was a group of us that made those things happen. And I just can't say enough about surrounding yourself with good people. And you've done that with our alumni staff. I mean, my God, I've known some of those people a long time. And they're great. Bob Bow and Dave Brown and all those people, super people. And you've got a lot of new ones, but you got to have those good people that are excited and want to do a good job, or things don't work. They just don't. You've got to have people that want to really make a commitment to what they're doing. And that's what I was talking about up in Pentwater. Everybody that really put their hands to it made a commitment to do the right thing to make these good things happen. And so when our band members and our people came up, the coaches and those people, the kids went back, and particularly the kids in the marching band, they couldn't believe all the things that took the way they were taken care of up
here. You made some Spartans for life at that point.
Well, it is. It makes you feel so awfully good, Scott. And you want to make those people feel happy and hope that they grow up to love the university like I love that university.
Dwayne Vernon, one of the true Spartan athletic legends, is our guest on MSU Today. Dwayne, what is it about the MSU legacy that must endure, and why should we try and entice men and women of vision to become donors and supporters of Michigan State?
Well, there are so many different ways that our university has openings in the world to do things for people, not just in the United States, not just in Michigan, not just in East Lansing, but around the world. There are so many different ways they can do it. And one of the great ways we can do it, Scott, is by the work of our alumni associations and the connections they make. And I'm not just saying this because you're the executive director of Alumni Association, but I mean that. I've always felt that way. So many connections are made through that alumni association around the world. And I don't know how many international clubs we have. I really don't know.
28.
My gosh, I didn't know there were that many. But that's an example. And they then have the outshoots for every place else. But, Scott, the way that we can help other people at this university, whether it's in medicine, and I always tell people, too, that we're the only school, I think, in America that has all three medical schools, osteopathic, human medicine, and veterinary medicine. I don't think anybody else has all three of them. And that's interesting, isn't it? But anyway, it's just so many ways this university, and other universities do the same thing, but our university seems to have, and being a land-grant college, one of the two originals with Penn State, and we started way back when, and we've been doing good things for people all along. But what I think, Scott, some of the things we do at this university in the classrooms and in projects that the faculty undertake can do so many good things and have done so many good things to help the world become not only just Lansing and Michigan and the United States, but the world become better. And I think that that's one of the great things about this university is there's so many ways that we do that. And I can't say that for every university because I don't know all the things that they do, but I do know all the things that we do. And if you sit down and analyze all the different endeavors that we take part in the world, and you listen to Luanna Simon and some of those faculty people talk, it's just amazing what we do. It's just absolutely amazing. And that's one of the things that makes you really proud of the university, not just because of the band and the Wharton Center and the sports teams, but the role that our university has on people's lives all over the world. And I think, Scott, that's, to me, is something that we can all really be proud of, because there's a lot of things that Michigan State University has done that's helped our daily lives. And you can sit down and make a list of a lot of things. And that's what's so good about our school, that we know. This is my school. It's one why I know. And I graduated from there, and I want to promote all the things it does and help it. Yet I know at the same time many other universities around the world are doing the same kind of things. But I'm just so happy about what we do here in all agriculture, all the things that we, the effect we have on agriculture all over the world, particularly in America. The agriculture effect is so far-reaching, and you read these publications that come out, and they're all part of the Michigan State University Agriculture Department, and they have projects going. And Scott, it's just amazing what the effect this university has on people's lives and in all kinds of their professions. And that's one of the things that I just think we have to be so proud of, not just on the courts, on the fields, but in those areas, too. And we do so many, many, many good things.
Dwayne Vernon, our special guest on MSU Today. I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Dwayne, thanks for joining us.
Well, Scott, I'm just honored to be here today. And I hope that I've given a message to all you people out there listening. Some of you maybe haven't gone to college yet, but if you're thinking about it, remember the three G's. It's the most important thing you can learn when you're in grade school, junior high, high school, college. The three G's, get good grades, because they mean everything. But to all the people out there listening, just be proud of this university. Those of you that are part of it, if you aren't part of it, maybe you'd like to become part of it. But whatever university you belong to, be proud of it. Get involved with it. And I've been so fortunate to be able to be involved with Michigan State University and the Alumni Association, Scott, since I've known of it, has been wonderful, and it does so much for our our alumni, for the school. I mean, the tailgates that they put on, but just not the tailgates, but the events that the alumni clubs have in their own communities and everywhere. And just get involved, folks. Get involved in your school. And if you're Spartan, get involved in the green and white activities. Doesn't mean you have to come back to games. There's lots of other ways you can help your community by doing things through the alumni associations, through certain departments at the university, certain things that the university offers to the world. Get involved in them, because you will be surprised how much you can, as an individual, do. And that individual, you can later on, when you find something working, get your team together. Get that Spartan team together and make good things happen. Because I'm going to come back to what I said before. From the moment of conception, there's nothing we get in life without help from other people. Get other people to help you, Spartans out there that are listening to this show. And thank the Alumni Association for making this show possible. And Scott, I thank you for making this possible. Every very, very minute.
See you on game day.
Go green.
Go white.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, my producer, Russ White, was recently on MSU Business for the Alumni Association over in China and Japan. And Russ has some impressions about both countries that we thought listeners would find interesting. First, Russ, glad to have you back, and I hope the travels went well.
Very well. Nice to join you on this side of the mic.
You were sort of taken by the differences that you saw between Japan and China. Some of your initial impressions about both countries.
Yeah, I guess in a way I was the typical American, not in a bad way, but just thinking, you know, kind of all of Asia is the same. But I was very struck by how different China and Japan are. Again, not so much in a bad way, but Beijing is kind of dirty and chaotic. There's bikes and cars and people walking everywhere. And by the end of the day, you know, you do kind of feel a little bit of that dirt in the back of your throat and your nose. So there's definitely some pollution, even though we were there on some gorgeous days. But a lot of young American Spartans doing really cool things over there, which is why I was there. And then Tokyo, the biggest city in the world, I was struck by how clean it was. The cleanest big city by far I've ever been in, and very calm and orderly despite being so huge.
Well, we talk a lot about healthy eating and locally produced food and things of that nature. You were also struck by the people in both countries. There was a real lack of obesity. I mean, I think what you said to me, everybody was thin.
Yeah, no one did I see was obese. Maybe one or two fat people in China, for lack of a better word, overweight. Not a single one in Japan. And you know, because that diet is so good, I could get used to that. And a lot of what I think we noticed is, It's so much about portions over here, just giant portions everywhere we go. They don't have giant portions over there, and they do not eat as much of the fat.
And you noticed, you mentioned in China that a lot of people were on bicycles, a lot of people walking. I wonder if that contributes, in addition to healthy eating, to that thinness in the culture.
I'll bet it does. Similar in Japan, a lot of people walking around. And another funny thing that kind of struck me is it doesn't seem like either of them like the sun, though. I didn't see anybody wearing shorts in Beijing, and only a handful in Japan. And you'll see the women in both countries using an umbrella as much to block the sun as to block the rain. Just kind of an interesting take on not wanting sun over there.
Except in China, as we know, we've had guests on the program that China's ramped up its solar power rather dramatically. Now, I know you didn't get out into the countryside too much, but did you find some evidence in China that they're serious about green energy over there?
Well, one thing is they're limiting, I think, when the cars can be on the road. Some of the people were telling us you can only be on the road a certain day if your license plate is a certain way. And But the guy said, I think there's 5 million cars on the road in Beijing. There's really always a traffic jam, except for maybe the wee hours of the morning. But they realize that that's a lot of what their pollution basically comes from, all the cars in Beijing and just the constant traffic jam, at least according to the people I spoke with.
And then in Japan, everything is orderly. The same number of cars probably, or maybe more, and yet traffic lights, everything running smoothly, and no traffic jams. It's amazing.
You're right, and part of the driving chaos I was talking about in Beijing, beep, beep, beep. I mean, the horn, you literally beep every time you're going to change a lane, or constant horns. I did not hear one horn in Tokyo the entire time I was there. Just an amazing sort of difference.
Well, if you were to sum it all up in terms of sort of lasting impressions that you took from both China and Japan, I mean, how would you characterize that?
Just, you know, a lot of times we in America just get so wrapped up in this is the be-all, end-all, and the beginning and end of the world. And it really is in a lot of ways. But it's just good for somebody who, like me, who tends to be a homebody, to get out and see some other people around the world and see, you know, the different ways they go about living. I just think that's good for people.
Now, I'd be remiss if we didn't put a plug in for a couple of very distinguished MSU alumni that you visited over there. And actually, you're doing feature videos because they're being awarded with Distinguished Alumni Awards. But we have a moment here. A little bit about each of those MSU alums.
Well, what's funny, as I told you, to go halfway around the world in Beijing to talk with a 25-year-old Caucasian from Frankenmuth. But Dan Redford is his name, and he's working for an organization called First Pathways that helps Chinese companies that want to invest in our country do it easier and just get through some of the clutter. And then I met in Tokyo with an extremely successful fashion businessman, Yuzo Yagi is his name. And he's basically what he learned in his supply chain MBA here many years ago. He's got the entire supply chain of high-end fashion basically in a lot of the world. So just a fascinating couple of Spartans. And it's just typical of what Scott Westerman talks about all the time, this Spartan network for life around the world. It was really a pleasure to meet and talk with these 10 great Spartans that, like you say, I will be featuring on video.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. We talk about global sustainability initiatives on this program. We can also talk about the Global Spartan Network. But great to have you back, Russ, and excellent impressions on China and Japan. Someday I'd like to get to those countries. Those are two countries I've not had the opportunity to go to.
And just my impressions, if I got anything wrong, I apologize. This is just one American's impressions after kind of a whirlwind tour. So thank you, too, Kirk.
We've been talking with my producer, Russ White, who's recently returned from China and Japan on MSU Business.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. Join the MSUAA family, and you're instantly connected to our network of over 500,000 Spartans in every corner of the world. Whether it's community, connections, career growth, or class, that's what the MSU Alumni Association is all about. Join the world's largest Spartan Nation community at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.